probably going to be the most simplest one for you to answer, but what if you're wrong?
Well, what if I'm wrong? I mean, anybody could be wrong. We could all be wrong about the flying spaghetti monster and the pink unicorn and the flying teapot. You happen to have been brought up, I would presume, in the Christian faith. You know what it's like not to believe in a particular faith because you're not a Muslim. You're not a Hindu. Why aren't you a Hindu? Because you happen to have been brought up in America, not in India. If you'd been brought up in India, you'd be a Hindu. If you were brought up in Denmark in the time of the Vikings, you'd be believing in Wotan and Thor. If you were brought up in classical Greece, you'd be believing in Zeus. If you were brought up in Central Africa, you'd be believing in the great Juju up the mountain. There's no particular reason to pick on the Judeo-Christian God in which, by the sheerest accident, you happen to have been brought up and ask me the question, what if I'm wrong? What if you're wrong about the great Juju at the bottom of the sea?
Welcome to The CA, a podcast about news, current events, and commentary on all things atheism from a Canadian perspective. This podcast carries the explicit tag and wears it like a motherfucking badge of honor. So if you get offended, switch off. The CA records each Sunday live from Apostasy Studios. For more, please visit our Facebook page for the latest news, updates, and previews on some upcoming shows. You can email us at theca@rogers.com, and if we're amused or tweaked by your email, we'll use it on the show. And now, here are Michael and Dean.
Hey everybody, today is Saturday, July 2nd. Happy Canada Day, happy belated Canada Day to all of my Canadian brothers and sisters. This is Michael. Dean's not joining me today. He's on a little family vacay in our nation's capital, so he's enjoying that. And there's a part of me that wishes I was there with him. I think our 150th in Ottawa would probably be a pretty special thing to see. But sadly, I'm here. My wife and I went to the Jays game yesterday. Sadly, they lost, but that was really cool. They did a lot of stuff for Canada 150, and that was great to see. So we've got a short-ish episode coming at you this week, but I just want to do a little bit of an intro. I had a conversation with Trav Mamone, and that's what is going to be featured on this episode. And I think, what the hell episode are we anyway? I think we're 14 now. 13, 14, something like that. Oh, I'll figure out what it was and I'll fix it later. Anyway, Trav and I have just a great conversation covering lots of different topics. And it was great to get some perspective from one of our neighbors to the south. So I'm not going to babble on too much about this. I am simply going to say that this is Trav Mamone, and that'll be it for this week. And the next time you'll hear us will be a week from today. And Dean will be back, and we'll do news, and we'll do all that that other cool stuff. But for now, I leave you with my conversation with Trav Mamone. Take care. Okay, so now I've got Trav Mamone on the line via Skype, the marvel of modern technology. So Trav is a science writer for Pace Magazine. He's the host of By Any Means.
They.
Pardon me. Thank you. Thank you for jumping in. They are the host of By Any Means and also the co-host of the By Skeptical podcast. They are also a blogger at Freethought Blogs, coming all the way from Maryland. Trav Mamone, welcome to the Canadian Atheist.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
I apologize for the pronoun slip-up. But just let everybody else know, before we started, I said, if I fuck up, correct me on the spot. So Trav was doing exactly what I told him to do. And that is, correcting something that probably shouldn't need correction, but hey, we're all human. So, right. Okay. So the reason I wanted to talk to you is we're primarily an atheist podcast. However, I also identify as a secular humanist, and as a humanist, I believe in equality, and I think that it's something that that needs to be addressed. And pardon me. And we're just in the midst of finishing up Pride Month here in Canada, and I thought it would be good to have you on. so that we could speak about what pride means to you, some of the differences that you, maybe we can talk about some of the differences between pride in the U.S. and pride in Canada, mm-hmm. and then see where things go from there. And I also wanted to, I guess maybe the first thing we should start with is why don't you tell our listeners as much of your story as you'd like to and as much detail as you'd like. And we are explicit, so say whatever the fuck you want.
Okay, I like this already. Well, let's see here. Wow, I have such a long story. Okay, let's start off with like my sort of quote-unquote religious background. I kind of grew up a wedding and funeral Christian. We didn't really go to church except for like, you know, weddings and funerals.
The Merriam Barium?
Yeah, that's it. And, but I became, a born-again Christian at age 17 because I was going, through a lot of deep depression, and you know, Jesus seemed to be like the only thing that worked at the time. And so I was a moderate evangelical for about the first few years, but then started drifting along more into progressive Christianity, where you know, you didn't have to be you didn't have to like, you know, vote Republican to be a Christian. You know, you didn't have to, you know, hate LGBTQ people. You know, most of the stuff in the Bible probably isn't historically accurate. And then I basically just started asking more questions until finally God sort of eventually disappeared. As far as like my sexuality and my gender identity, I kind of first realized I was bisexual and genderqueer around middle school or high school, although I didn't know there was a word for genderqueer yet, so I just assumed that, oh, it's because I'm bisexual, that's why I have a feel very androgynous, you know?
Okay, so educate me a little bit. Mm-hmm. Explain genderqueer.
Oh, sure. Basically, it's sort of like a catch-all term for people who don't identify within the gender binary of boy and girl. Some people also use the word non-binary, and I kind of use both terms, you know, kind of at the same time. For me, I kind of feel kind of like a boy-girl hybrid, which sounds really weird because we all have like sort of male and female characteristics, but mine's to the point where I feel like, no, I actually am, you know, a woman and a man at the same time. I kind of lean more towards femininity as far as my appearance. You know, I wear makeup, I paint my nails, I wear tops and bottoms from the women's section at Target, and, you know, I shave my body hair off daily. But I don't think I can claim enough femininity to call myself a woman, because I do have gender dysphoria, but it's in very specific parts of my body. Like, I'm okay with my chest and my genitals, but you know, I don't really like my broad shoulders or my body hair or facial hair. I unfortunately am one of those people who, even after I shave, I sort of have a permanent 4 o'clock shadow.
I would have been jealous of you in high school, because as a as a ginger, it took me forever to grow any facial hair.
Okay, gotcha. So yeah, hopefully that explains it well. You know.
Oh, that's cool. So okay, so the most of the major Pride festivities were this past weekend. We had our massive parade here on Sunday. I think it's somewhere in the neighborhood of 750,000 people take part in the parade in one form or another, and it brings into the city probably closer to about 1.5 million over the whole whole month of June. How was Pride for you in Maryland, and how did you celebrate?
Well, unfortunately, I missed both DC Pride and Baltimore Pride because DC Pride was the same weekend that I was in South Carolina for the American Humanist Association conference. And I think I had other plans of some sort of, you know, previous engagement that prevented me from going to the Baltimore Pride. I've never actually really been to a big Pride event in a big city, mostly because it's in the summer and it's hot and there's so many people around and I get heat drunk easily unless I'm like drinking 20 bottles of water, you know, have an entire case of bottled water with me. So I miss those. But in my neck of the woods, Easton, Maryland, which is a pretty rural part of Maryland, the local PFLAG chapter did do a pride picnic for LGBTQ families, where we had, like, you know, hot dogs and coleslaw and chips and watermelon and cookies and all that stuff. I spent most of the time actually hanging out with my friend Sydney, who just got back from the area from graduating from college. And, you know, we've been following each other on Facebook for a while, but you never had a chance to meet in person. So I invited her. And so we basically spent the time like hanging out there. So that's basically the extent of my sort of, you know, pride festivity experience.
Well, like we mentioned before, you got to get yourself up here because the Toronto Parade is really something else. It's the second largest in North America. It's second only to San Francisco. We do it up right here, and luckily, with our largely liberal-leaning public and majority government right now, we have great festivities. We have great festivities. So you mentioned the American Humanist Association meeting. What was that like?
Oh, it was good. I did a talk called WTF is Genderqueer, where I basically sort of talked about, you know, all the different terminologies, you know, cisgender, transgender, gender dysphoria, genderqueer, non-binary, whatnot. And I used a bunch of science articles to sort of talk about the sort of basically the science behind gender identity. There have been a couple of studies where they sort of use brain scans to sort of compare the sort of brain structure, brain patterns of, you know, different people of different genders, you know, cisgender men and women, which for those in the audience who don't know, cisgender is basically the opposite of transgender. You know, if, you know, you were born, when you were born, the doctor said, it's a boy, you grow up saying, yes, I am a boy, that's cisgender. Whereas transgender is when you say, no, that's not right. And so, yeah, I talked about the studies that show that, you know, trans women have basically sort of like same brain patterns as cisgender women. And there hasn't really been a lot of scientific studies on non-binary people yet. There's only just like one. It was basically a self-reporting survey of people who's just talked about their particular experiences. More research, I think, is needed in that area. And so, yeah, I just talked about that, and it was well-received, you know. I had, like, a whole bunch of people come up to me afterwards and be like, wow, that was really informative. Thanks for explaining it in a way that, you know, I could understand, you know. I was like, oh, great, you know. So it was a pretty good experience. Unfortunately, the audience wasn't as receptive to a lot of the panel discussions and presentations on racial justice, but that's another story.
Yeah, that's a whole different kettle of fish. And I certainly wouldn't try to assert that we're perfect here in Canada, but I think one of the ways we have it right is we have very, very strict gun control laws here. Okay. And so it's tantamount to impossible to get a concealed carry permit in Canada. You have to jump through hoops that you know, that maybe an Olympic gymnast could, but most normal people can't. And as a result, we don't have people walking around carrying guns. And as a byproduct of that, the law enforcement is less likely to be, holy shit, this person might have a gun, so I better shoot them first. And then when you add the racial card to that, I mean, it's just, yeah, it's so out of control in the U.S. I'm a happy Canuck. Let's just put it that way.
Right, right. Yeah, and I think with the Philando Castile verdict, it really shows the United States' double standards on gun ownership. You know, if you're a white person with a concealed weapon and a license to carry said concealed weapon, you're a patriot. If you're a black man who has the same, you know, license and permit to carry a concealed weapon, you're still a thug.
You're a thug. Yeah, you're a criminal. It's just a matter of time before you're going to do something to me and my family, so I better shoot you first.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's there was a video that I saw on YouTube some time ago where there was a group in Oregon that were conducting a social experiment. And they had a man walking down the street, actually a couple of guys walking down with AR-15s slung over their shoulders. Mm-hmm. And an officer came up and stopped them, walked out, and you know, just kind of walked towards them and said, "Hey, you know, can I see some IDs?" And they're like, "No, you can't see IDs. You have no right to ask for IDs. Why are you carrying the guns?" "Because I feel like it." and then the next scene was a black man and his, I guess, partner walking down the street. Virtually same scenario, different part of the same town. And somebody pulled up, lights and sirens, opened the door, had him at gunpoint, had him on the ground. Mm-hmm. Within 90 seconds, there were four more police cars. They took his weapon. They cuffed him. And it was precisely the same scenario.
Wow. Just
absolutely, absolutely ridiculous. The talk you did at American Humanist, is that available for consumption online anywhere? Do you know?
I don't think so yet. I'm still waiting for the video to be uploaded because I want to share the audio from that for my By Any Means podcast. And so I've just been sitting here waiting. Going on YouTube, constantly refreshing the buttons. Like, is it online yet? No. Right. How about now? No. How about now? No.
Well, hopefully it's out there soon, and mm-hmm. we can direct people to see that, because I think, knowledge is power, and you know, just like when we talk about skepticism, in terms of religious views and atheism and things like that. That same knowledge is also power when it comes to everything else and trying to, you know, treat people just like people. And mm-hmm. and so a good degree of education to help people. Like, before you explained what genderqueer was, I really didn't have an understanding. And that's part of, and that's not, it's not really for lack of trying. But, you know, like I said, I mean, just being a, you know, straight, white, cis dude, like the only piece of the privilege pie that I wasn't born with was being born into a rich family because we were pretty poor, but I have every other privilege, and I try to be conscious of that. And I try to expose myself to as much education as possible. And that's why I think that video could be so helpful, point people in that direction and say, you want to know what this is? Here, watch this, listen to this. So we'll have to definitely make sure that we plug the fuck out of your podcast to make sure that people get over to listen to that when it is available.
Cool. Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay, so so LGBTQ rights in the U.S. right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that so we have a couple of friends that we met actually on vacation in Mexico about 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. Two women, married, lovely people. They really are some just wonderful people. And we've kept in touch. We've gone down and vacationed at the same place now 3 times. And they're actually supposed to be coming up here to visit in a few weeks. And I remember speaking with them, like via Facebook and stuff like that, after the November apocalypse that was Trump's election. Mm-hmm. And their daughter came down the stairs after the whole fiasco and looked at them and said, you know, "Do you guys still get to be married now?" And that broke my heart, because why the fuck should that matter? But how worried are you about, I mean, we've had marriage equality here since 2005.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually just recently, Bill C-16, I don't know if you've been following, and I don't know if you follow the Canadian politics as much as we follow your politics.
Well, I do know about C-16 only because there have been a couple of douchebag professors up in your neck of the woods who think that it's going to basically put people in jail for saying there are only two genders, but I don't know how much you want to get into that.
Well, you're referring, of course, to Mr. Peterson. And who's the other? I don't even know the other one, so you know more than I do.
Yeah,
it's sad. Yeah, it's so ridiculous. I was incredibly proud when C-16 passed, and I plastered it all over Facebook, and I've talked about it as much as anyone wants to hear me talk about it. Down in the U.S., you've only had marriage equality now for a few years. Now with the Orange Nightmare, and the and his his cohort Moses, are you fearful of the reversal of some of these things? I mean, Trump's tried to obliterate everything else about Obama's legacy.
I am, yes. I don't know if Trump himself will do away with the SCOTUS ruling, but I think he will probably support, states' rights to overturn it, because that's his big thing. States' rights, rights that, it's a weird thing about the conservatives here. They're all about, the government, small government, but when like an individual state wants to, do something crappy like, not issue marriage license to same-sex couples. Mm. All of a sudden, they're like, hey, states' rights, what can I do? What can we do about it? So that's a big concern. And also, there's also, of course, the whole bathroom bill thing, which, as far as I know, I think it's HB2 in North Carolina, the bathroom bill there. They say it got sort of repealed, but it's basically just a kinder, gentler version of the original bill. I don't know the exact details. So in my neck of the woods, Maryland, I think we're pretty safe because before the SCOTUS ruling a couple of years ago, we actually voted to legalize same-sex marriage in the 2012 election. And then like a couple of years later, we elected a Republican governor, and on his campaign trail, somebody asked him about, the same-sex laws in Maryland. And he just said, hey, the voters have spoken. And so locally, I don't really expect too many repercussions unless for some strange reason we end up electing a governor who's further to the right than our current governor, Larry Hogan.
Mm. Well, I guess that's a sliver of hope. Okay. So during the intro, I talked a little bit about, or I mentioned that you are a science writer for PACE. Tell us about that.
Well, I should point out that I don't really have too much of an academic background in science. I mean, I took the required courses for college, but my background is actually, I majored in English and with a minor in philosophy. But I'm always been interested in science and using science to sort of try to find answers to complex issues in, our modern discourse. And somebody posted in an ad in a Facebook group for writers saying that PACE was looking for a science writer. So I applied and got the job there. Basically, what I do is, just write articles that, try to use science to, try to find some truth into these, complex issues. My most recent one was about the science behind sexuality, and specifically bisexuality, because there have been some reason, even though it's the B in LGBT, there are a lot of gay and lesbian people who kind of still think that, bisexuality isn't real. If you're a bisexual man, you're really gay. If you're a bisexual woman, you're really straight and just like to, perform it for, the male gaze.
So hang on, are you saying that there's like almost discrimination, for lack of a better term, within the LGBTQ community?
Oh yes, definitely.
Really?
And not just with bisexuality, but also with asexuality, non-binary trans people, There's probably some other things. And even, like, some racial discrimination as well. I mean, you probably saw how, like, a lot of people lost their shit when Philadelphia added the black and brown stripes to the LGBTQ pride flag. You know?
Yeah, it's funny. I saw a lot of people freaking out about it. And my take on it was kind of like, well, you know, at first I was like, not my circus, not my monkeys. Mm-hmm. I felt like I didn't, it wasn't my place to even insert an opinion on it. In hindsight, I think all I would say, if anyone asked me about it, would say, who gives a shit? Like, why does it matter? Right. Like, I mean, like, put more colors in front. I mean, there's no white in it. And, you know, I'm not jumping up and down saying, what about, you know, white gays matter or something stupid like that. So who cares? And I think anything to be more inclusive is always going to be a move in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and also, apparently in that particular situation, there have been, I don't remember the exact details, there have been some sort of, you know, discussions about the lack of inclusion for queer people of color in that particular community. And so the modified flag was their way of saying, you know, we see you. And also, going back to the origins of Pride, well, hell, trans women of color were apparently the ones who started fighting back against the cops during the Stonewall riots, you know, and that's something that, you know, the Stonewall movie that came out a couple years ago completely ignored.
Wow. I wasn't even aware of that. Oh, okay, so you also blog.
Yes.
What's your blog about?
I don't really blog as much because, well, money's short, and so I'm kind of like trying to, you know, focus more on writing stuff that gets me paid. But when I do blog, it's basically about what I call the sort of intersections between social justice and secular humanism, you know. Basically say that, you know, as humanists, you know, we believe in, you know, the worth and dignity of all people and strive for equal rights. And so to talk about, you know, racial justice, feminism, LGBTQ rights, and all that, it's not being divisive. It's just adding to the conversation, saying, well, wait a minute, what about, you know, these particular issues that tends to get brushed aside in the main discourse, you know? No, so that's basically what I do.
I think it all falls under the same umbrella. And, you know, being divisive, you mentioned something there. We have enough to deal with. The humanist community has enough to deal with without infighting. And I mean, I think you and I have both seen that, as well in some of the different, in some of the different communities that we belong to. And I try not to chime in too much. Unless somebody really pokes me the wrong way, because I'm probably only going to say what others have already said. And that is, you know, if we're all humans and if we're all human beings and humanists, I don't see the issue here. But you also mentioned the term SJW, which, to some people is like a trigger. And it's become this almost, I've seen people that are either like, you know, pro using the term or anti using the term. If I'm looking at it and I say, okay, SJW, social justice warrior, I don't think I'm crazy about the warrior part. But you know, if you use it just kind of as a, you know, like warrior fighting, you know, metaphorically, of course, I don't have a problem with that. And social justice in itself, well, doesn't social justice, and in my mind, it falls under the envelope, you know, under the umbrella of humanism. I've never had a problem with it. You know, but all this, you know, people, it's somehow it's picked up this baggage and it hasn't even been around that long.
Yeah.
And so I kind of don't understand it. If people ask me, if people ask me, or, you know, do you consider yourself an SJW? I say to them what I just said to you. Say, well, if you break it down, then I guess technically I am. And you're either going to embrace me or crucify me based on that.
Yeah, the term SJW is so, like, no one can really agree on what it means. Like, there are some that say, you know, an SJW is specifically for, you know, basically the left-wing version of, like, alt-right trolls we see online, you know? Mm. But then there are others who say that SJW means, you know, anyone who says things like, you know, the wage gap is real, or that systematic racism still exists, Black Lives Matter, you know, or that, you know, pointing out the lack of inclusion in, you know, organizations and different conferences, you know, and I don't know. It's the same thing with regressive left, you know. Hmm. Yes, there are those on the left who do some pretty regressive shit, like, you know, people who try to silence ex-Muslims from speaking, and also, well, there was that whole incident last week with the Chicago Dyke March where apparently they banned a flag, a pride flag that had the Star of David on it. You know, they said it was for Palestinian solidarity, but it's like, well, no, it's not. It's not a pro-Israeli settlements thing. It was, you know, I'm proud to be, you know, queer and Jewish. That's from what I can tell. So that I can definitely understand if we use regressive left in those terms. Hmm. However, as my friend Dan Errol has pointed out to me a few times, you know, he's been called regressive simply for saying, you know, we should, you know, not make fun of trans people and use their right pronouns, you know? So it's one of those. I used to, one time I actually suggested on my Facebook page that we should retire the phrase, but then Hina Dadaboy, who's an ex-Muslim blogger that I really, really like, mm-hmm. and more to the left of the political spectrum, Hina said, don't, because it still addresses a serious issue, you know, about ex-Muslims being silenced. And so I was like, oh, okay, I guess I see what you mean there.
Yeah, I had a similar conversation with Armin Navabi at Imagine No Religion 7 a few weeks mm-hmm. ago. We had a similar conversation. And, you know, because I was trying to get some education from him, you know, on, you know, how do I talk about these things? And one of the things is like, he's like, well, keep talking. It's like, don't stop talking. Mm. That's, you know, and he, one of the things he was saying was, you know, like as, basically as a white guy, you have the capacity simply through your voice as a white guy to get more shit out there.
Right. Exactly.
And I had never considered that before. I'd be like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess it is if that is true, then it is incumbent on me to do what I have the capacity to do
mm-hmm.
and to speak out more. So that's pretty interesting. Okay. Well, this has been a great talk, and I hope that we can do it again sometime. Hopefully, when there's, wouldn't it be nice if there was nothing more to discuss, if everything just fixed itself? Well, I don't see that happening anytime soon.
So, well, it'd be kind of boring unless you want to talk about, I don't know, television shows.
Yeah, I watch almost no television. I get bored so easily with TV. So unless it's a nature show or car racing, I kind of don't care. Okay. But Trav, if people wanted to reach out to you, how could they do that?
Sure. Well, they can go to freethoughtblogs.com/byanymeans, and that's by spelled B-I. And from there, you can, you know, get links to, you know, my articles online, the podcasts that I do.
Which are?
And, the podcast, By Any Means, By Skeptical. And then I do a monthly show with Jeremiah Traeger and Chris Watson called The Spinoff, which basically we just talk about music. That's sort of like a different direction than like the stuff I usually talk about on By Any Means and By Skeptical. If they want to follow me on Twitter, they can follow me at T-Mamone.
Great. And are you open to conversations on Facebook as well? My Facebook is so wide open, anybody can see anything they want. What about yours?
Oh, yeah, mine's pretty open. Personal stuff, I tend to put friends only. Like, if I'm talking about, you know, mental health issues or something like that, I tend to keep it friends only. But, like, for the most part, it's pretty open.
Okay, awesome. Well, I wanted to thank you again. And I apologize once again for fucking up the pronouns earlier on. Like I said, I'm learning. So thanks again for coming on, and stay safe, and I hope to talk to you again soon.
All right. Thanks for having me on.
Take care.
Mm-hmm.
This has been the CA. Thanks for listening. If you like what you heard, please drop by the iTunes store and give us a review and subscribe to get the latest episodes as soon as they release. Just a reminder, the views expressed on this broadcast are solely those of the hosts and are for entertainment purposes only. Never take advice from two guys expressing an opinion on a podcast. That's just silly. See you back here soon.